Blog Talk Radio.
My dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who love truth and honesty and facts and getting at the heart of critical thinking on issues that face us in the world, I welcome you to the Andrew Shatkin Show. It's on every weekday and every weekend, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 9:30, sometimes at 11, and sometimes at 6:30, tonight it's at 8. And what I'm going to talk about, let me just say that before I begin, the subject I will be talking about is what politics and truth. And the reason for my particular concern here is that many people confuse political slogans with truth. And they're not. They are usually associated with political rhetoric for politicians to gain power and get jobs for themselves and their friends, I think. But let me just go into a little bit of my background so you understand where I'm coming from on this issue. Then I'll talk about the issue of politics and truth and give you some examples of what I mean, of how people get fooled by political rhetoric, thinking they are being told things that are factual and true, when in reality they are probably being fed lies and misstatements. However, this is a politically incorrect show, namely, we are not out for media lies or media falsehoods or political rhetoric. We are our aim is critical thinking and honest facts and truth. That is the goal of this show, political incorrectness rather than political correctness. In other words, we don't want to engage in fooling people or attempting to fool people by lying to them on the issues that we face in our world. The second thing is I'm a Christian. And I'm not about to change that view or position. I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I also believe in the creeds of the church, the Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed as guides for my life and truth. If I read any books, I'm going to read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress or his great autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Grace of to the Chief of Sinners, or Milton's Paradise Lost. These are the great books. These are the books that will inform me. And I advise you, if you want to read the right books, if you want to read the great books, if you want to read the books that will stretch your mind and push it to its limits and bring you to truth and the light rather than the darkness, I suggest you read Mortimer Adler's How to Read a Book, in which he very astutely observed two very important points. Number one, the Bible is the basis of Western thought and Western civilization, something people don't want to say today. It's a no-no in the academic sector, where we are supposed to believe that all religions are the same. For some reason, they're not particularly. But more to the point, Dr. Adler said in this book that images and image conveyance of knowledge is a drug, and you are drugging your mind as a passive receptacle. A book is not a drug; it is a challenge to stretch your mind. And Dr. Adler says in this book, How to Read a Book, he gives a huge list of books that can stretch your mind, such as Greek tragedy, Homer, the Iliad and Odyssey, Virgil. These are just some of the books he mentions. Take a look at the book. You'll find out what he's talking about. And then I personally run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. And these shows are Christian-oriented, but I welcome many visitors from many countries all over the world. Over 4,300 people have visited my podcast, and many people from many Muslim countries have visited my blog talk radio show, particularly from Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq, and the same is true of my podcast show. I'm very happy that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters are visiting my Christian-oriented thinking. I have to say that I find Muslims fascinating. I think they're very intelligent. I think they're very astute, and I'm willing to listen to them and to dialogue with them as I'm willing to dialogue with everybody, and I have a very close young woman, a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who enjoyed some of my Christian books, a number of them, which I'm very happy. Muslims are intelligent people. They are astute people. They are people who listen and are interested in learning and in being and in dialoguing with different people and different sorts of people. The second thing is that I am a writer. I've written 10 books, 4 Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables, and most recently a book on the Psalms. And the Psalms are my inspiration for my whole life. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm while in Sunday school. The Psalms are inspiring. They are great Hebrew religious poetry. They're great poetry. They're great thinking. And I can't stop reading them. I can't stop having to know the coming to know them. And I have to say that just like with those books I mentioned, a person who has not read the Psalms, they have missed out immeasurably in their minds and thoughts and spirits. By the way, my book on the Psalms has been recommended by Barnes & Noble as the pick book of the month in September. It is featured as a pick in this September of this year, which I'm very happy about. The book has been recognized as having value. Next, I have written over 800 blogs, 900 actually. These are on all areas of literary and religious interest. And many people upload these articles on academia.edu and my website, and they have a Christian orientation, and many, many people do read these blogs or essays. And I also am writing more books, a book on the miracles in the Bible, a book on pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. These are partially completed. I'm also writing a book on Job, the great book of the Bible, one of the great books of the Bible. An Edomite and not Jewish, but nevertheless, it's right there in the Hebrew canon. It's a wonderful book. It's a great book. I can't fail to recommend it, and I feel a great privilege in writing about it, having the opportunity to write about it. I'm writing a book of my blogs. These blogs will be featured in 2 books, which are forthcoming. One book is completely completed. I'm looking for a publisher. The other I'm working on. So that's my present situation. I've written 3 very significant articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review, which is bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department, as well as 2 more from academicus.edu, a Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, which have purchased these articles on the educational system and on sexual orientation discrimination, and they have been bought by the State Department, as well as many, many other libraries throughout the world. Now, as I say, the topic today is people tend to believe, if told, that things are true, because we're really barraged with propaganda. It's most of what assaults us through the media are mostly lies that have no truth, and that's why I say politics has no truth. Let me give you an example of the foolishness that is imposed on our society in the guise of truth, which is nothing more than political rhetoric. Both President Bush and the present president want to make citizens of illegal aliens. And they say, well, this is a good thing. This is charity. But really, it serves to undermine severely the American worker's ability to earn a living and support his family. The apparent purpose of legalizing the illegals is to make fools of us. They have no business here in the first place other than to provide cheap labor. And as I said, by providing cheap labor, they phase out the American worker as much as possible. Therefore, this politically rhetorical act of goodness is really a means of fooling people, that the people who are legally here, who shouldn't be here, and they're here to provide cheap labor to enrich corporate America. Former President Bush also endorsed supply-side economics. by not taxing the wealthiest sectors of society, he says jobs will be created. But again, supply, this is a while ago, but I think I'll talk about it. Supply-side economics is nothing more than a political slogan and is really a lie, since its real purpose is to enrich rich and make them richer. So, yes, President Bush and Reagan endorsed supply-side economics. They said by not taxing the wealthy and the most profitable businesses, jobs will be created and will trickle down to the workers of America. In reality, supply-side economics is nothing more than a political slogan, is really a lie, since its real purpose is to enrich the rich and make it richer. These are a couple of examples of what I talk about as politics and truth. Let me give you another example. Democratic Party, that wonderful party that say they are the party of the poor, yet the fact of the matter is in the United States there is really not that a lot of poor people. The United States is a relatively rich, industrialized country with some poor, but nothing like poverty that a person from South America, Asia, or Africa might seem to be. So the Democratic Party, their political propaganda, they're the party of the poor, again, is a lie, because we don't have that many poor people in the United States. We're a relatively rich country with some percentage of poor, but not a lot. So you have to say here that these political slogans, whether making citizens of illegal aliens, supply-side economics, or helping a lot of poor people, which the Democratic Party claims they're doing, they are political rhetoric and slogans and are not to be confused with truth. The truth is that as private citizens, we should be charitable to our neighbors. And we all have to recognize the need for a governmental safety net. But the truth is capitalism has its points in offering people opportunities, but has to be controlled by social programs. Let me give you another example here. Class distinctions, which are the result of economic dominance and subjugation by a fortunate few, they are the product of human arrogance, evil, and selfishness, and should be eliminated. The truth is that cheap labor attacks the American workers' ability to get jobs and hold them. As I said, these are all things that fool us, these slogans. Let me give you some other examples that I think are true. What are we going to do about this gross lying of the media and politics? This is a hard question, and the answer is equally hard. I think we have to recognize that nothing can replace the Christian worldview, the Bible, or the great ideas in Western civilization. So more important, amid this rhetoric and cacophony of untruth that are forced on us, they really make it difficult for us to critically think and sort out things to get at the truth. It's only through our own reflection, with what we read and what we learn, that we can understand the world and ourselves. We need to be exposed to the great ideas of the past. Nothing can replace the Christian worldview or the Bible or the great ideas in Western culture. More important, nothing amid this yelling of untruths that are forced on us should compromise our ability to critically think and sort out things. It is only through our own reflection in the course of our lives, along with our exposure to the great ideas of the past, that we can understand the world and ourselves. We will never understand that cruelty, egotism, and selfishness, without understanding human nature, shows us people are corrupt and blackened in their souls. We will never understand that materialism is not the answer until we recognize that men and women have a spiritual nature, that they will live beyond the grave, and that all our lives will come to an end, perhaps sooner than we think. So, where is the truth? Well, I think we can find it. not in selfishness, greed, and materialism, but we can find it in the ideas of the Christian worldview and the Bible or the great ideas of Western culture. This yelling, this political rhetoric, these lies compromise our ability to critically think and sort out. It's only through our own thinking in the course of our lives, along with our exposure to the great ideas of the past, it's very important we be exposed to the great works of literature and the great ideas of the past, that we can understand our world and ourselves. We will never understand that materialism is not the answer. It is not the answer until we recognize that men and women have a spiritual nature, that they will live beyond the grave, and that all our lives will come to an end sooner or later. As I've said, I've given you some examples of political lies and rhetoric. And the political propaganda and sloganeering are nothing more, whether they come under the guise of helping poor people, which the Democratic Party claims to do, knowing there are not that many poor people in the United States, certainly not in comparison to other countries, or that we should have citizens of illegal aliens, which will serve to undermine people's ability to get a job. This is all political propaganda and sloganeering, and nothing more than artful lies seeking to deceive and obfuscate true life principles that we must find in the course of our lives and must be acute enough to see and grasp as they are presented to us and offered to us. This is all political propaganda, what I'm talking about. I gave some examples, and nothing more than artful lies serving to deceive true life principles that we are compelled to find in the course of our lives. And this is what the world, our society, is all about, getting at the facts, getting at the truth, and canceling and ignoring this gross, lying political propaganda. There is no truth in politics. Politics is concerned with power. It is concerned with politicians or people in those positions gaining power and gaining money. That is what politics is all about. It is not about truth. And therefore, political rhetoric and political sloganeerings are lies and have no truth. If you want to read my chapter in my book on politics and truth, you'll find it in Essays in the Christian Worldview, pages 82 to 84. Hope you've enjoyed this little talk today, and I may talk again Monday on this issue to clarify what I'm saying. Thank you.